Hello and welcome to Voices from the Road. This is Tom from Road Tested Living. I'm today joined by some trucking celebrities, George and Wendy Parker of the George and Wendy Show. Thank you guys for joining me today.
Hey,
thanks
Tom.
For having us, Tom.
I'm not sure we're celebrities, but thank you.
Well, compared to me, you're a celebrity. So,
I don't know about that.
But anyway, it's glad that you're on there today. For those of you who are not familiar with George and Wendy, they run the George and Wendy Show .com blog, as well as are on Facebook. And Wendy's been known to have the occasional byline for Overdrive magazine.
Every once in a while.
Just once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like you see her and Todd Dills' name on the bylines all the time. So,
No, that never happens.
No, never.
We love Todd. Todd's the one that actually makes me look good, so I'm going to have to give him most of the credit for that. But
I've read both of your stuff, and they're both good. And I actually got to meet Todd at GATS last year briefly, and he really is a good guy. So,
he's the best. We love Todd. He's good.
Todd, do you hear that? She needs a raise now.
Yeah, right.
I tried. Anyways, we got introduced because of some of our similar interests in health, and you guys graciously agreed to talk to me. And I guess a good place to get started is how did you guys, you know, get both started in the road and doing some of what you're doing, but, you know, what do you do to stay healthy and try and keep yourself and others healthy on the road?
I was a nurse. That was kind of what started me writing health pieces specifically for trucking, because I realized that real early on, I did a lot of geriatric nursing. That was specifically what I did. I worked in nursing homes. And I noticed that a lot of the health issues that really old people have, truckers have too, and they're both related to inactivity. When you get older, you can't move around as much. When you sit in a truck 11 hours a day, you don't move around as much. You have the same types of issues with, with your general constitution. There's a lot of arthritis. There's a lot of bowel issues and those kind of things, and they're all kind of similar. So that interested me a lot, and I noticed that they're connected because of one thing in specific, and that's inactivity and people not exercising enough. Hello?
No, I'm going to say, George, you have anything you want to add to that?
I was waiting. I don't want to talk on anybody. It's just, I've been out here for several years, and it's just, just like when he was saying, the inactivity has taken its toll, you know. I mean, when I first started truck driving, I didn't really think about those kind of things, you know. I was out here rolling down the road and really put a whole lot of thought into what I was eating and sitting on my butt all day long. And it got to a point to where I gained so much weight that it became a thing that I had to think about. You know, it wasn't something that I could just not do anything about. So I just started trying to make healthier decisions, you know, as far as food, my meals out here on the road, try to park as far away from the truck stops as I can. That way, you know, at least I get that exercise. Walking across a lot, if the weather's good, you know, I get out and I try to I try to walk as much as I can, you know, to get the blood going.
And that really is a good way to do it. I mean, depending on who you talk to, I've heard as little as, 6,000 steps a day can do you a lot of good to right around 10, 11,000. At least most of the research that I've come across, it seems like much more than 10,000 doesn't seem real practical. And I know when I hear 10,000 steps, I'm going, okay, that doesn't sound realistic. But until you find out about 10,000 steps, if I remember correctly, it's ballpark 2.5-3 miles. And if you think that if you walk around your truck 30 times, roughly, depending on your exact setup, that's about a mile.
Sure.
Every time you have to get in and out of your truck, if you did 2 or 3 laps around your truck, and you did that 4, 5, 6 times a day, if you look at every time that we get in and out of a truck, before you know it, you probably got half your steps in right there. Then if you park in the backside, particularly if it's the Iowa 80 truck stop, you could probably get in half your steps just walking from the back corner of the parking lot,
probably
to the main building.
You get 10,000 steps if you parked at the back of aisle 80, pretty sure.
okay, round trip. We won't go quite that. Well, actually, I haven't been there in a couple of years, so I heard they did make the parking lot bigger. So you might be right.
I can't imagine how they could have.
But I mean, other besides doing things for ourselves, another thing that Wendy and I have, and they're kicking this off at MATS this year, is truckdrivershealth.org. And it's a program that we're just putting good information out there for drivers that are interested in learning about things they can do out here on the road to make healthier decisions. You know, we participated in several other health things, and one of them was, you know, trying to get people to exercise, you know, doing jumping jacks and things like that. And you know, it got to a point where, you know, I know how I feel when I get done driving. If we can get somebody out of the truck and just get them walking, then we're doing something positive.
Yeah.
For the industry, if we can present the information, you know, and you're doing great things, you know, with cooking in the truck, and I know you're working on a cookbook. So those kind of things, you know, with all these things coming together, I mean, it's becoming a hot topic for the industry is driver's health.
Yeah, for sure. And it needs to be presented in a way that's not so convoluted. There are 1,000 different programs out there. People need to be able to have a place that they can pick and choose the information. I'm not a super healthy person. I fight it. I hate to exercise. I like to eat, and I like to eat what I want to eat. But if you pick and choose, you can find a balance. And the key is to finding a balance on the road. You have to take into account that your inactivity is going to play into effect here. So you have to pick and choose what you eat a little more carefully. Being able to cook on the truck and imparting that kind of information that you're giving them, Tom, as far as, you know, being able to provide their own healthy food on the truck, that's invaluable stuff. And that's stuff that some maybe new people coming on the road don't think about. Maybe people who are forced into life changes, you know, by a heart attack or some kind of health thing that's happened to them, you know, to be able to be back on the road. It's good information for them to have. We don't really want to necessarily shove any particular program down anyone's throat. We want to say, here's some information for you. It's a good thing. You know, this is how it works, and you can use it if you want. It's up to you. The thing is, there are health mandates going to come. They're coming. I mean, it's coming. They're taking comments on it. The FMCSA is going to do something about driver health. I don't know what. You know, none of us really know exactly what they've got planned, but it's coming, and it's always better to be proactive than to be forced into doing something.
Yeah, it really is. And, George, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I see what happened there. I was looking at my control panel. It looked like you had dropped the call, so I wanted to be sure. In case In case people are wondering what's going on here is Wendy, I believe, is in Ohio. I'm in Pennsylvania, and George is in Colorado. And, you know, we're doing this as a conference call, so it makes it kind of interesting. If it sounds like we're walking over each other at times, well, it's because we are, because we can't see the other person trying to talk. But I thank them for taking some time out of their afternoon today to do this call. Let's take just a quick break here, because it seems like we've got an opportunity for a short break, and we'll be back here in just a moment. And we're back, and that's one thing you and Wendy were saying there, George, and I kind of like, is that there isn't really one way to get healthy. There isn't one specific program. I mean, I use parts of the Rolling Strong program. I've been using it off and on for years. Sometimes I'm really good about following it. Sometimes I'm not. Well, obviously, when I do follow it, I do a little bit better. But usually when I find I don't, it's because I let myself get sidetracked because I'm busy. These last few months, I've stopped doing a lot of what I know works, and I found the pounds kind of slipping back on because I'm so busy, you know, with the cookbook or this health project or that health project that I'm just not taking the time for myself. And I think that's something we have to remember is, and you have some stories about this too, George, is if you don't take care of your truck and do it, the repair bills before you know it will get, you know, out of this world. And if your truck's wheels aren't rolling, you're not making money. And why is it any difference with us as the drivers? If we're not taking some of these proactive steps, and every driver keeps saying they don't want these new health regulations, well, my one answer is, what have you done to prevent them? And they kind of look at me and goes, well, I've called this. I says, no, have you tried to get healthy? Because if we would get healthy as drivers, we wouldn't have to have all these regulations we were complaining about. You know, if we did a bunch of things as drivers, it would take away the argument for a lot of these regulations.
For sure. For sure. I mean, sleep apnea is going to be huge, and that you know, that's, it already is. It's keeping people from the road. And, you know, there are, you know, really basic things that can be done to, you know, to alleviate a lot of that.
I mean, that,
again,
that goes,
is being proactive is really important.
And that goes just for with any of the regulations that are coming down the pipe or have come down the pipe. You know, you've got veteran drivers, they'll get on Facebook and they'll brag about how they break the rules all the time and this and that. And then people, they want to complain about why we have all these regulations. Well, it's things like that that give the federal government something to point a finger at and say, well, this is why we need to regulate them, because of this, this, and this. You know, and your body is, like you were saying, is just like your truck. You've got to do preventative maintenance, you know, and if that's just walking, you know, then that's a step in the right direction.
It really is. And the thing is I guess I got a question for you, George and Wendy. From the sounds of you, do some walking. Maybe it's not as much as you'd like, but do you just walk for the sake of walking, or do you use a fitness tracker to kind of keep track of it, or, you know, or do you just walk?
We usually just explore.
Yeah. I mean, when we get to
like
an area.
Kids.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to an area, and if, you know, if we're doing a reset, or, you know, we've got some time. But like, for an example, we were in Mississippi a couple weeks ago. We were both together, and we were sitting there. And instead of sitting in the truck and, you know, eating a bunch of snack cakes, and we said, let's get out. We, you know, got on Google Maps, kind of looked at the area around us. We were able to find a creek bed. And I don't even know how long we walked, but Wendy, I know, uses a pedometer on her phone, and then we both use Galaxy phones that has that fitness program in it that counts your steps automatically. So I don't really per se like focus on it, but because I have that app on my phone and it automatically does it, then, you know, I'm like, oh, hey, I, you know, completed half my steps, and I think it's set up right now for 10,000 steps. So
yesterday I did
6,000 steps here, and that was just walking back and forth to the grocery store getting medicine because I had a head cold. So I think I've gotten that, just ate a bunch of zinc, and, you know, that's another thing. You know, you got to take care of yourself out here on the road. You know, you get sick, it's no fun to be out here when you're sick.
No, it's really not. And Wendy, I mean, George can cheat a little bit, because since he has a nurse in the family, if he's not feeling good or something's not right, he can obviously ask you and say, hey, what's going on? You know, what can I do? So do you have a few tips as a nurse, either for things a driver should carry on the truck, for like a first aid kit that, you know, that are allowed by the DOT, or just a couple just basic tips, you know, from your experience out on the road and what you know of? And keep in mind, everyone, she's not a doctor, so don't take
right.
what she says as doctor's advice.
I have to give you a disclaimer first and tell you that these are just personal opinions. They're not anything that a doctor has recommended. But there are a couple things that we don't leave home with. One of them is the packets of emergency vitamin C. It's a little packet. I think everyone's have seen them at the counter. It's a huge burst of vitamin C. You can pour it into water. It's fizzy. It tastes good. It also makes you feel better. We won't leave home without that. We have all the basic things. A multivitamin is always good to have. It doesn't really, you know, I'm not a huge fan of oral vitamins. I think the most you get better vitamins from your food. It's been proven, but obviously we can't always get all the vitamins we need from our food on the road. So that kind of thing. What you really need to do is decide what's good for you, because everyone has different needs on the road, and it's something that you should strongly consider having. You need to decide, you know, do you have acid reflux when you lay down at night? Then you probably need to carry, you know, some ginger. That helps a lot. You know, there. And I did do a couple of articles for Overdrive that I think you can reference. All of them are archived about, you know, the things that are good to have on the road. It's a really important thing to think about. It can make a big difference in, you know, how you feel when you have to get up and drive the next day.
Hey, Wendy, if you could do me a favor and send me the links to some of those articles.
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
the cross link them when this audio clip goes up. I'll do a, like a little blog or something that goes along with it, and then I'll cross link it there. And if there's anything else that comes up in the course of this conversation, and this goes for you too as well, George, any links or anything you want to share, feel free to send them to me. I'll make sure it goes up as well.
Awesome.
Sure,
thank you.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get that to you right now, Tom.
Not a problem. I mean, what would we do without having computers sitting in front of us?
I know, right?
and for people who say that truck drivers are not techno weenies at heart.
I have more technology on my truck than I do in my house, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I've got, I don't know, I have way too many tablets. I have too many smartphones.
Way too many tablets.
Well, I just bought one, and then I got this new Rand McNally T&D tablet, which I'm still trying to figure all the features of that thing out. It's pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome tool.
Okay.
And that is one of the things I've kind of noticed, things of what I'm doing. I'm sure you are too, George, is everybody and their brother kind of reaches out to you about your opinions on things, whether it's testing a product or not, or just, you know, just asking, hey, what do you think of this product or what do you think of that product? And at times it's just kind of like, how do I keep all this information straight?
I think I probably get asked more about dash cameras than anything else.
Anything, yeah.
Anything.
Dash cameras.
People want to know. They want to know what kind of dash camera I'm running. And for the record, I have the Rand McNally T&D has a built-in dash cam, but I'm using the Cobra CDR 840. It's got a G-Shock sensor in it. It shows your longitude and latitude. It's my the best one that I've used thus far out of four other ones. I won't mention other, you know, the other company names, but yeah, Cobra knocked it out of the park with this one.
That's good to hear. And just keep in mind, is Cobra is not one of my sponsors.
They're not at all. They're not one of our sponsors either. For the record, they're not one of. We don't have any sponsors.
We don't have a lot of sponsors.
We get a lot of people sending us stuff, and they want to send us stuff, and we tell them up front, or I tell them up front, you know, look, if this is a piece of crap, pardon my language, but you can edit that out if that's offensive to anybody, but I'm not going to, you know, they send us this stuff, and they want us to put it out there because we can reach a lot their target market, and I'll tell them up front, you know, if this is not something that I would buy myself, I'm not going to tell other people to go spend their hard-earned money on it.
This is why
we don't have sponsors. This is why we don't have sponsors.
I'm laughing when beyond that, I'll tell you why. It's like, go on, George.
No, but, I mean, that's one of the things that, I mean, we have, I'd say, 3,100 people on Facebook. Not a huge number, but it's they're all drivers or family, spouses of drivers. And they listen, they value our input because we're honest. You know, we're not going to tell them that something's a great product if it's not. And I think they really appreciate that about us.
And that's true. And you know, I am starting, you know, getting started down this road with reviews and the help of, and some of that myself. And, you know, as you know, there's expenses running some of this stuff. And I do have a few sponsors/advertisers. But the one thing they all understand coming right on board, if you send me a product and I like it, I'll tell everybody. If you send me a product and I think it's a piece of junk, I'm still going to tell everybody. And one or two of them, when they've heard that has kind of stopped. And a couple of them said, well, and actually the one person, I won't mention any names, but yeah, you know him too, George, is he says, we've got some products that I'm really, really proud of. We got some products that I think are pieces of junk. I says, well, if you don't want me telling people that they're pieces of junk, don't send them to me.
Right.
And, you know, but the added, the that, and one of the other companies that I work with, Tough Desk, that, he actually calls me, I'd say, at least once every couple of months, A, to see how I'm doing, but B, saying, hey, how are the products that we've sent you working? Have you found any problems? And if I find a problem with something, even if it's just something as simple as I don't like the way it plugs in anymore, you know, they'll ask me to send pictures to them so they can figure out what the problem is, so they can see if it really is a problem and fix it.
That's the mark of a good company.
And that's one of the things I like. I mean, that's almost one of the first things he asked me when we talk, other than how I'm doing, is, you know, what have you broken lately?
Yeah.
And not because they're your sponsor, but I really like Tough Tested products. I've used several. That, in the truck, that's the only kind of chargers that I use for my phones and my electronics are Tough Tested.
I will say in full disclosure here, I've managed to break some of their supposedly non-breakable products. And actually, when I go to Matt's this year, I think I know how I broke the one, and it wasn't their fault. It was my fault. But I'm actually taking a small bag of products down there, so you can take it back to their engineers, so they can figure out what I did. And I already heard the one engineer is whimpering because he pretty much knows every time they get an email from me, he gets to figure out how I broke something.
that's invaluable information for them, and the companies that actually take that information and use it, those are the companies that we don't mind, you know, help them put out there, because they really want to make these products worth the money. Truckers are getting raped on prices anyway, pretty much everywhere they buy anything. They should at least give them a decent product for the huge amount of profits they're making on them, at the very least. You know, and the companies that are willing to listen and say, hey, we'll change it, just tell us what's wrong with it, you know. I love working with those kind of companies. They give me hope, you know, that there are people out there who care, you know, about putting out a decent product.
And they really are. And like I said, is you know, we got started on one thing and went on to this. But I think that's something also that people need to realize is, you know, if they don't realize this, doing what we do, if you consider all the time we spend, whether it's talking just as friends or to people about products or whatever, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into this. And at a certain point, the expenses of a website, you know, taking time off the road to go to some of these events to meet people, it does cost us money. So,
sure.
You know, anybody who thinks we're getting rich on what we're doing,
yeah.
Everybody's laughing.
Listen to us all laugh maniacally.
And actually, Linda Caffey and I were talking earlier today about something similar, and it was just basically along the lines of, you know, if we figure all the time we do into it, and she even mentioned there's a health cost, because the more active you get involved in some of this stuff, you find yourself getting a little less active, and you know you should be out walking or doing this or doing that, but you're going, well, I got a website I got to update, I've got stuff I've got to ship out, I've got a product review I've got to write, I've got blogs I've got to do, I have to figure out how to use this new program, take videos, all this other stuff. And there's only so many hours in the day. And, I mean, in my case, I figure I spend close to 20 hours a week on the phone just talking about RoadTestedLiving.com business, whether it's talking to doctors, other health people about, you know, this cookbook that I've been working on for the last year with Linda and Team RunSmart. There's a lot of time that goes into this, and believe me when I say, if I figured out the time I put into this, I'm probably making negative dollars.
I mean, just being out here on the road, just as a driver, I mean, there's so much time that goes into, you know, sitting at a shipper, receiver, and everything that's involved with just that. By no means am I complaining. I mean, Wendy and I feel very fortunate to be in the position that we're in. But you can now, she'll verify this, but running our Facebook page is a full time job. Just that one portion of it. We spend so much time, and especially Wendy, when I'm on, you know, obviously I'm not on Facebook when I'm rolling down the road. She's the one that's always on there. She's looking for good content to put up. She's interacting with people. We're answering questions. People are continuously sending us weather updates, you know, traffic updates, or just general information about, you know, the trucking industry. So, I mean, that in itself is a full-time job. And that's just one part of what we do. You know, I do a lot of video stuff out here on the road. Wendy's writing articles for Overdrive. She writes the occasional one for Landline magazine, OIDA's magazine. So, I mean, there's, you know, we completely understand where you're coming from as far as the amount of time involved and doing what we're doing, trying to make the industry better, trying to get information out there for people, you know, to help them answer some of the questions that they have.
In the long run, it's only better for us. I really feel like if we put the effort in
to this. It makes it better for us. So it's not altruistic. It's actually kind of selfish on my part because I want it to be better for me. I'm excited about everybody else.
When you say better, Wendy, do you mean like in an industry sense, or what do you mean? How do you define better? Because I know that can be taken a couple different ways.
Well, our better, and I think our platform and our idea of better is to present a better image. I want people to understand that there are educated, smart people out here. Some of the most innovative, smartest people I've ever met are truckers, and they have to be because they do it on a daily basis. Their brain never stops. And I know people think that they just zone out and drive, but that is not true. They can't. They're on all the time. They click. And if you take the time to speak to some of these people and have the respect, you know, for the job that they have that you should have, you're going to learn so much about them. And I think that avenue needs to be open. I'm real big on positive press in the mainstream press. I want, you know, organizations like TAT get excellent, good press out about the trucking industry. You know, just anything that we can get into the mainstream that is not a huge crash caused by somebody pulling a tooth. You know, and just things like that, we have to override that. We're our own spin doctors as far as the press goes. The trucking industry, we don't have people out there who are interested in good press about trucking. We have to make them that way. And I think that is the change I'd like to see.
It's definitely an uphill battle trying to get that positive story, because like she was saying, they're not really concerned about it unless it involves a fiery crash.
Yeah, you know, they don't want to see it. I mean, everybody knows that.
I'm not going to say the name, but the crash in New Jersey that people are still talking about today. You know, I mean, those are the kind of stories, unfortunately, that get in the mainstream media. You know, the story, there was one a couple weeks ago about a trucker saw a sheriff's car driving erratically. Turned out it was a juvenile that he was transporting that had gotten out of his handcuffs and got him in a chokehold. Truck driver risked his life. The juvenile got the gun away from the officer. You know, and that, you heard a little blurb about that, you know. And just trying to get those stories out there, you know, that truck drivers, they will go out of your way. Most of the truck drivers out here that I know, well, they would give somebody the shirt off their back.
Yeah,
you know, and it's changed a lot here, and we won't go into that. That's a whole other story. But there's still a lot of decent people out here on the road. You know, we're husbands, we're fathers, we're mothers. Not I'm not a mother, but we're mothers.
You mother.
You mother. There's grandmother. You know, I've met people out here. You know, I've met some of the most uneducated people, but I've met people out here with PhDs. I met a guy that was a college professor, and I asked him, I was like, well, why'd you quit doing that? And so he got bored, and he wanted to see the country. You know, I mean, and somebody will probably say, well, that's not the best reason to come out here. But he was just a decent person, you know. He would go out of his way to help people. And there's a wide variety of people out here doing this job.
Yeah.
That's true. And we have at least one driver from my company who's a millionaire. And I mean a legitimate millionaire.
He wants to waste his fortune on a truck.
But the funny part is he's a company driver. He does it, though, because he loves driving. He was successful with a couple of inventions. He stopped driving for a while, realized he missed it, went back to driving over the road because he loved what he did. And now,
that
keep in mind,
crazy.
He won't own his own truck because he says, I'm a millionaire. I don't want to be a 100,000-aire. So he lets somebody else own the truck.
That's what they say. You know how to make a small fortune owning your own truck? You start with a large fortune.
and if you look at the last few years, and I won't mention some of the company's names, I'm sure if drivers think about it, with some of the major bankruptcies that's happened in the last 2 to 3 years, that's exactly how some of these family companies, they started off with a large fortune, and they made some bad decisions, and, well, they ended up with no fortune and possibly in prison. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back in just a moment. And we're back again, and what started off as being a focus on the health calls turned into another subject I'm passionate on, which is driver image, and clearly George and Wendy are. I may start a little controversy on this one. Is what do you guys think about these people that repost these videos of people doing dumb things or pictures where a driver did something stupid? And the first few times I saw them, I kind of thought they were amusing. And the more I started seeing them, to realize I started thinking from this perspective as, wait a second, why, when we put them out here on Facebook, it's a little bit like George said, you know, when you brag about how you don't run legally, you know, that's ammunition for the people who want to use it against us. And when we start reposting all these pictures, maybe it starts off educational, but when you start throwing the memes and some of these smart-ass comments about various companies on there, at a certain point it just becomes, wait, there's nothing productive going on this, and all this, you know, every and all of our fans, our friends and family members and their friends are starting to see this stuff. And doesn't, do you think that maybe is contributing to some of the image problems?
I would say that's probably the big thing right now, social media. Wendy, if you run across something like that, send it to Wendy, because she will go on a warpath. And she's done it multiple times. There was one, there was a guy sitting in the passenger seat driving with his feet, and his buddy was in the bunk filming it. And they were just laughing and laughing. I don't think that guy's no longer employed at that company.
Well, that's not even that, but you can't. I used to think, and I was just like you, Tom, when I first started seeing these videos, I thought, well, good for them. They're going to shame these people into acting right. But here's the thing. People that act like that have no shame, and you can't shame them. And the time that you take to take the picture and post it on Facebook, you could have done something a little more productive. I don't know what it might be because I'm not in that situation, but instead of doing something detrimental, and instead of posting something to the masses, because, I mean, everybody knows that immediately those kind of things go, they go viral immediately. Instead of doing that, you know, maybe hold off for a minute, maybe get the truck number, maybe contact the company, you know, quietly. You don't, and I used to be a big advocate of shaming these people into doing what they, you know, to acting right, but you can't do it. First of all, it's not my job to do it, and second of all, there's not enough time in the day. Whenever people don't want to act right, they're not going to. Then you need to leave it up to their company, and you need to say, hey, this is what's going on in your company truck. You know, that's, you need to do something about it.
And even if you are successful in shaming that person and giving them a lesson, so to speak, the problem is it's you know, like some of these teenage girls are discovering by posting pictures that are maybe a little less than discreet, they're finding that they're still out there haunting them 5 and 10 and even more
for
years
sure.
down the road. So
for sure.
if we want
it never
to change
goes away.
If we want to change our image, you know, the only way we can do it is by doing things. So, you know, there's been a rash of people posting pictures out there of drivers with less than savory bathroom habits in the truck
yeah.
stop. And, okay, you know what? The first time or two that I saw that, all right, you know, you put it aware of a problem. But at a certain point, it's like, really? Because actually, that story that you just talked about the driver that saved him, if I'm not mistaken, actually happened about almost a year ago, George. Cause I remember
yeah.
hearing about that. I think it was a year ago, and I just saw it. I literally had to click on, and when I saw it popped up on my newsfeed the other day, go, oh, there's another one, until I realized, oh, wait, this is a story from a year ago, and everybody, and a lot of people are acting like it's brand new. And I'm
okay.
glad it's out there. And please don't think I'm saying I'm not proud of the driver and that I don't, you know, want, you know, this story to get out there. But it's just one of those stories is you know, it seems like some of these stories, they come and they go and they come and they go, which is good because it gives us more, you know, positive publicity. But it's just...
The bad
ones
do the same thing.
exactly. But anyways, I know I promised you guys I do my best to keep this call under 45 minutes. And
okay.
if we don't go soon, we're going to break that. So I do thank you for coming there today. And for anybody who is coming to Mass, which is March 26th or 28th down there in Louisville, if you are bringing your truck, there is parking over at the Papa John's lot there over near Papa John's Stadium. The last memo that I got about that, the parking lot opens, I think it's
Wednesday morning.
Let's say
yeah.
9 a.m.
Yeah,
but let's just say noon to be safe. But you know, anytime after noon, you should be able to show up and start parking there. But you know that's a great experience there. And then also you have to be out of there. I think it's by Sunday morning. They don't have a specific time that I've heard, but they do want everybody out on Sunday. But you know, go there. I know you're going to be some over at the driver's health booth with Barry and the rest of his team.
We will.
Where else are you going to be? And do you have some booth numbers or a schedule yet?
We have
the only, The only other place we know for sure, is Saturday at the Truck It Smart booth from 1 to 3:30. We'll be over there with Nick Shaughnessy and his wife. They have a load board over there. Truck It Smart is a load board. We don't use a load board, but we love the Shaughnessys and we love to support them. They're really awesome people. Yeah, they're really good people. If you're using a load board, and if we were using one, that would be the one we'd use. But that's the only place we know for sure we're going to be. We're definitely going to be at Tony Justice's concert Saturday night at the OIDA stage.
He's also doing another one. I'm not sure on the time, but Tony's playing at the Western Star booth with his whole band this year. They're bringing the whole band in for him. So
it's Friday afternoon, I think, but don't hold me to that. I think it's Friday afternoon.
Yeah, and then the Marshall Tucker Band, of course. It's going to be a big show. We're excited about it.
And I hope you two are going to be able to make it over to the Trucking Solutions Group walk at that's leaving from the Papa John's lot at 7 o'clock. We're meeting over by the OIDA stage starting around 6:30. And I hope you two will be able to make it to that.
Oh yeah, we'll be there.
We'll be there. I believe we're going to have our truck parked right by the OIDA stage like we did last year.
Yeah, we'll be right there.
We'll be right there.
Well, then you'll have a really far commute. And since your truck is so far away, maybe you can pop over to the Freightliner Hospitality Trader at 8 o'clock, where Linda and I are doing the Cooking on the Truck Summit. I said it again. I'm sorry, Linda. The Cooking in the Truck Summit. She gets mad at me every time I say Cooking on the Truck, because she's like, we don't have flat butt top keeps to cook on anymore. But we're just going to be there, and it's a way that everybody who's interested in cooking in the truck, whether you participate currently or not, can get there, share some ideas. But more importantly, how can we spread the word about cooking on the truck and doing, what you can to eat healthier? Because the thing is, as much as I like healthy cooking, I keep telling everybody, I'm not expecting you to cook healthy. I'd like you just to start cooking, even if it's reheating a can of soup on the truck. Start with something, and you can work your way up from there.
Having a can of soup on the truck is 100 times better than going and having a hamburger at McDonald's in a truck stop.
True that.
Amen. And even some of the worst condensed soups out there usually taste better than a certain place with golden arches, which will remain nameless, because their lawyers are better than mine.
Sure. Did I actually say that word?
I believe you said Mac, M-A-C, Donald. That little that nobody knows about.
Yes.
With the golden arcs. Or McDougal's. What was that? What was the one from that movie from, Coming to America with, what was it?
Eddie
comedian?
Murphy and...
Eddie, yes.
And Arsenio Hall, I believe.
Yes. You are correct. McDonald's, that was it. Thank you. That's the one he was talking about. He misspoke.
Now that we've clarified.
Actually, Wendy and I actually refer to it as McNasty's, so we could use that as well.
That works. And it's just like everybody's familiar with Toxic Hell and some other ones. So.
Sure.
But those are some of the events that I'm doing, and then obviously I hope you guys do get to stop by and see Linda and I for those cookbooks we're giving away. We know the e-versions for sure will be available. We're still trying to find out about everything else. Murphy keeps rearing his ugly head the last few days. Every time we think we get everything set up or it's off to the printer, something comes up at the last second. But the e-version, as of the last phone call I had, is definitely going ahead irregardless, so we're going to definitely have information out on how to get your free e-copy. So, like I said, Linda and I are very, very proud of that, and we're very grateful to the support of everybody who's been involved in that project from the beginning. And actually, the one person that I forgot to give a shout-out to for her support on that cookbook, when I was talking to Linda about it earlier, I forgot to thank Lindsay Lawler. Lindsay Lawler actually has went and contributed a recipe to that cookbook. And she, for those
the
of
singer?
You who aren't aware, the singer.
Yeah, all right, guys.
Yeah, I met her last time last year at GATS. I only had to talk to her for a few minutes, but she seemed like a really awesome person. So
she really is.
And we always try to, even if it's just for 2 minutes, we always try to run over to the Freightliner booth and say hi to all our friends over there. So, I mean, it's just, we hate to try to make plans because we show up thinking we're just going to do one thing. You know, we've got some things going on this year that we know for sure, but it ends up, we end up going in 50,000 directions, and it's crazy. It ends up being a crazy thing. And now all we want to do is go home and sleep for a week afterwards because we're just exhausted. So.
And in my case, I already know I've got to get a load Sunday morning, so I have to be able to pay you for my time there. So
yeah, same for us.
But it's like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, no, Lindsay's been quite a big supporter. I got to meet her last year at GATS as well, and she was actually my very, very first formal interview that I ever did for my blog or anything like that nature. And she was just a wonderful person,
awesome.
And she cares about drivers and promoting driver image. And I actually got to find out if she's going to be at MAPS this year because she lives just down the road in Nashville, so I'm not sure if she'll be able to make it up for part of the show or not. But she really has a true heart for truck drivers, and she's a big supporter of the trucking industry issues, especially the Highway Angel program. So, you know, she really does what she can to promote the good things that drivers do and is working to try to figure out ways to bridge the gap between the general public and drivers, you know, so that we can hopefully start realizing we're not each other's enemies. So
awesome. Thanks, Lindsay.
And she's really a great person and doing some great things on that. So thank you, Lindsay, for all of your support. And I will find, if she's going to be there, I will do my best to make sure that you get to meet her, George and Lindsay. So
perfect. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I wasn't aware that she was doing so much. I mean, I knew she was really heavily involved, but I didn't know really in what aspects she was involved. Like I said, I had a brief conversation with her. It sounds like that's something that somebody that Wendy and I would probably like to talk to and maybe have Wendy do a story or about the things that she's got going on. So by all means,
I got to send her an email about a few things later on today. So I will see what I can at the very least about getting you and her connected together, Wendy. So I'd be more than happy to do
Tom.
That. Oh, she, like I said, she's a phenomenal person. And that's not saying we don't have a lot of other phenomenal drivers out there who are doing similar things, because we really do. But,
sure.
You know, any chance that we get an opportunity to recognize somebody for what they're doing. And like you said, Tony does his best to do a lot, Brad James, Keith Sampson. There's a bunch. I mean, we could probably do a 45-minute show just trying to think of everybody that tries to do something positive for the industry. So.
Right.
Actually, that might be an idea for a few future conversations if you ever want to do that.
There you go, Tom.
It's just kind of a session where we talk about, you know, different people that we think contribute to the industry. And because there's a lot of people out there that I can think of, and a lot of them are really not necessarily really well-known, but they really do a lot. So, but anyway,
yeah,
I really do. Go ahead, George.
No, I was going to say there's just tons of people, and the more the better. I mean, so the more people we can bring on board and have them, you know, thinking about things as far as our image or making healthier decisions or all the things that affect us, I mean, the more the better. I mean, that just makes us stronger as a group, as an industry.
It really does. And I know you said you're going to be some over at the Truck Drivers Health booth, which is booth number 32010. I looked that up real quick. I'm not exactly sure. Well, actually, if you're anything like me, you don't even know what your schedule is yet, because everybody keeps telling me, well, we'll let you know. We'll let you know when we need you here. We'll let you know when you need you here. I keep going, you better start letting me know soon.
Sure. Yeah, we're on the same boat, because, like I said, we've got so many things going on, and we want to make sure that we're able to give our time to these issues that we're concerned about or these companies. So, I mean, we're in the same situation. There's like 5 or 6 things we're waiting to hear, you know, get a schedule on. So the Truck Drivers Health, I do know that we're going to be, they've got quite a few sponsors, and we're going to be in a lot of those sponsors' booths. But as far as the schedule for that, we still haven't got that yet. So.
Excellent. And actually, I was going to close out. I just realized you mentioned really briefly earlier, and I know you feel really strongly about this organization. Could you just tell everybody really quick a little bit about Truckers Against Trafficking, TAT?
Well, it's an organization that they were put together to
well, they fight against human trafficking. And just in the last, you know, in the last few years, TAD has brought this really to the forefront. One of the, just a real brief, they've done so much work that I could take hours to tell you about it. But just real briefly, if you'll notice when you go, and you touched on this in a video that you did recently, when you go into different states now, the state themselves are supporting posters and things that promote, you know, calling for help if you're controlled or if you see someone who is being controlled. It's bringing the awareness to the forefront. So many people have no idea this is going on, and it goes on every single day in America. In this country, there are people who are owned and trafficked by other human beings. And it's got to stop. And they're doing great work to make sure that it does. I really, really, really feel strongly about TAT, and I love that organization, and we support them 100%. We appreciate them.
Amen.
And two things that I think that should be pointed out, too, is a lot of times you hear a lot of drivers saying, oh, these lot lizards, they have a choice. And one of the things that I remember about seeing about their mobile museum that they introduced last year at GATS, and just reading a little bit about some of the stories in there, how many of these women, both young and old, are tricked or trapped through a variety of circumstances. So it causes you to start looking at some of this stuff in a new way. And then the second thing that I want to do is, when I did do that video about that sign that I saw and encouraging other businesses and truck stops to do it, I do want, it has been pointed out to me by a friend, that TA Petro does have a lot of signs up and literature throughout theirs. So
yep.
So I don't want TA Petro to think that I'm saying that they do not participate in this. That I'm not saying that at all. You guys are doing a great job, and it obviously is up to their individual store and district managers how they do it. But
sure.
You know, it's just like everything. Take a look through your store, and what more could you be doing? I mean, if you're doing
sure.
it perfectly and could do it better, great job. If you could do it a little bit better, think about it. I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong. I'm just saying, just think about it, because, like I said, that museum and seeing about how some of these young girls, as young as I think 14 or 15, got lured into it by people who they thought they could trust, in some cases relatives, really stopped to make you think, and then to find out it was actually a truck driver that saved
sure.
them or was involved in their rescue. So, I mean, there's... You know, if you don't think you can have an impact on somebody's life for something like this, think again. And if you still believe that after just hearing what Wendy and George and I just said about them, reach out to TAT. They're more than happy to share some of their literature and material with you. I know Kyla has talked to me a few times about some of what they're doing. They're really passionate about what they do, and they're just a great group of people.
And I do want to add this. You can actually contact them through their website or on their Facebook page, and they will send you window decals. We've got them in both of our bit windows, and it just says Truckers Against Trafficking, and it says, do you need help? And it gives a phone number. So if somebody that is in that situation where they're being controlled, they can come up and they can get that number. Whether or not they're going to reach out for that help is up to them, but we like to at least have that on the truck so they have an option if they choose to use that. So, like I said, you can contact them on their Facebook page or their website, and they'll be more than happy to send you literature, cards to hand out, and window decals.
And one more important thing, too, is if you do suspect human trafficking, one thing that they do encourage you not to do is to directly confront the individual yourself.
Right.
Call somebody in authority, because, number one, if they are armed, we hope they aren't. That could put you and the other person's life in danger. But two, it also may give them, if it is a ring, it may give them the opportunity to crack something wide open. If we look at the Super Bowl this year, there was several instances of a few rings being cracked wide open because of a few, I don't know if lucky is the right word, but I'll use it, of a few lucky busts. And actually some fairly well-known people, unfortunately, were caught in some of those stings. So it's just one of those things is, just kind of look at it. You know, every day we make the decisions as drivers, and this is a chance that we, you know, for us to make a decision that hopefully will impact somebody else's life.
Sure. I mean, we all do things out here that impact. I mean, just moving the freight, but if we can go above and beyond just being truck drivers and actually help somebody get out of a bad situation, then I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about Wendy and I, we go out of our way. A lot of times, for an example, Wendy puts bags together with food in it because any truck driver knows, you get people approaching them all the time, you know, whether or not that person is hungry or they just want beer. You know, you can't make that determination. You know, if we say no to everybody, then the people that really do need the help aren't going to get that help. Does that make any sense?
It does, and I've actually given some food. I've offered a few times to give people food or buy them something, and sometimes they accept it, and sometimes they don't. And when they don't, that usually tells me right then and there what they really wanted it for. But you know, there are some circumstances where they really do it, and if somebody really is hungry or hurting, you know, that physical stuff is probably going to do them every bit as much good, if not more so, than the money.
Sure. I mean, we've given people Wendy's. I've watched Wendy make somebody a sandwich and hand it out the window, and I thought they were going to chew her fingers off trying to eat the sandwich before it was out of her hand. So, are you still there?
No, Wendy just disappeared.
Oh, Wendy just disappeared. But anyway, so I mean, we've had that, and then we've given food to other people and seen them walk over to the next truck and knock on the door and throw the sandwich on the ground. So you just don't know who really needs the help or who doesn't. But if you say no to everybody, then you're not going to be helping anybody. You know, as opposed to if you try to help people, yeah, you might get burned a time or two, but at least you did your part to help somebody out, and that's the most important thing.
And it really is, George. It really is. And, well, I'd say goodbye to Wendy, but evidently she got her fingers and her phone chewed off by somebody who wanted her time a little bit more than us. But thank you very much for coming on. I do appreciate it. You have a wonderful rest of your day, George.
Okay. I just got a text from her. I appreciate that. I appreciate you having us on here. She just wanted me to thank you as well and say goodbye for her as well. And anytime that you need any help from us or you need to get information out there or vice versa, whatever, I mean, that's what we're here for. So we appreciate
exactly.
What you're doing, Tom. We really appreciate
it. And I appreciate what you're doing, George and Wendy. And that's the one thing I have to say is George and I just started talking this week, and I feel kind of a kinship ready to him already. And I got to share this story, George, especially since Wendy's not here to smack us. But as everyone knows, George is known for his ugly teeth. So the first time I talked on the phone, George says, "You and I have a problem. We have a problem with each other, George." And you can already hear the why. You know, he has this nervous sound in his voice because, "George, I'm almost 40 years old, and I've worked hard all my life to get my teeth as ugly as these are, and you're having to horn in on my gig by buying a set."
And I'm stepping on your toes, huh?
He just started laughing. He goes, "Oh, they can't be that bad." And he goes, "Well, they're bad enough." "So I'm seeing pictures of you." He goes, "George, ever heard of Photoshop?" I have some really great pictures of me that a few friends have taken, and almost every single one of them, my teeth have been cosmetically altered thanks to the wonderful wonders of digital technology. They're not as bad as some people's teeth, but I do look a little bit like I do resemble a buck-toothed beaver. So, but
she absolutely hates when I put those teeth in and make. And I told you this on, but I'll say it again so everybody else can hear. I was really bored. We got those teeth. We both had a set. We were going to make this spoof video about truck drivers for a friend of ours that was putting what he's put together a video as far as you know, people explaining, "Hey, I'm a father. I'm college educated." So we bought those funny teeth, and we were just going to do the spoof video, and we never ended up doing the video. And one day I was bored doing my 30-minute break. And I found him on the truck, and I did a stupid video. And for whatever reason, I don't understand it. People, they were really entertained by that, and Wendy really went above and beyond, telling people not to encourage me to make more videos. But yeah, you have to have fun out here. You know, laughter soothes the soul. So you know, if I can make somebody laugh by acting like an idiot, then I'm going to act like an idiot. So.
Well, I have much to say. I have much the same attitude, and you know, maybe my teeth aren't as bad as I make them out to be, but it's just one of those things. As you grow up as a kid, you get teased about a little bit. At a certain point, you can either take the insult personally, or you can just have more fun with it than they are, and then
sure.
They quickly get bored with it. Well,
yeah.
one of the earliest lessons I learned on that was with my last name, Kirk. Gee,
yep.
Ever think I get teased on that one a little bit?
I think we got this the same thing with George. You've got, you know, Georgie Porgy. You've got Carrot Top. I could go on and on. It was growing up with red hair and the name George was, like, horrible. I barely made it through the third grade, you know.
I wasn't quite that bad for me, but I understand.
I learned, and when I was younger, I had buck teeth, too. You know, they grew together and all that stuff. But you know, I forgot what I was going to say now, but I lost it. I had something important and valuable to say, but I don't remember what I was
going to say. Well, I'll tell you what, if you ever remember it, I'll have you back on, and you can tell everybody.
So it'll be 5 seconds from now. I'll be like, oh, that's what it was.
But actually, when you were saying the whole part about George, I immediately got in my head the abominable snowman from Looney Tunes. I'm going to squeeze him and love him, and I'm going to name you George.
Well, I just got it back. What I was going to say is what you were saying. If you let people, if you know, for whatever reason, people, you know, are picking on you or making fun of you, when you let that upset them, you're just giving them more power. When you laugh with them, that takes their power away because they're like, that's not what they expect, you know. When people are being mean to people, to other people for whatever reason, when you let it upset you, and yeah, it's going to upset you regardless, but if you act like it doesn't, then that, and a lot of times that'll get people to stop because they're like, well, that has no fun to pick on, you know?
I really knew because I grew up, as my dad was a minister, so when you grow up as the son of a preacher, you get called PK, you get teased a lot for a bunch of different things. You rightly or wrongly, you're held to a different set of standards, but most of the preacher's kids that I grew up with that were the happiest, we were the ones that just, as I grow older, as I have no sense of shame or dignity. And sure. Somebody looked at me and goes, well, what do you mean by that? Because imagine walking into a small country church, all of a sudden all the little old ladies in the church surrounding you. Well, oh, I remember when you were just a little boy, I used to change your diaper right here on this very pew in front of God and everyone.
Oh, yeah.
At a certain point, you just kind of realize, you know what? They don't mean anything by it. I need to have some fun with this. He goes, are you sure it was on that pew? I thought it was this one over here. I distinctly remember this one being over here. and this is, oh, wait, I do remember you. Were you the one I peed on during that one service? and the thing is, and then, of course, seeing your mother looking at you like, I'm going to kill you in the car. And dad's sitting in the pew behind laughing. But the thing is, the whole point is this. And the thing is, the ladies thought it was funny, too. They weren't mad. But it's just one of those things is you have to figure out how to have a sense of humor, make a best. I mean, Linda, Kathy, and I were talking about this earlier today. You know, a lot of people get upset by being on the road and say, oh, this is not home. This is not home. And we were talking a little bit about you have to make it home. Whatever home is to you, but you have to make it home or you're going to lose your mind.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a good sense of humor, and you have to have a lot of patience if you're going to make it in this job. I mean, because getting angry and being upset all the time, all that's going to do is increase, you know, cause your blood pressure to rise. And I see it out here all the time. You know, guys run in and they're screaming at people at the fuel aisle. And yeah, I mean, I don't like having, you know, getting hung up or having problems out here, but getting upset about something that isn't going to get it resolved any quicker. You know, in a lot of cases, showing your butt like that is going to actually probably hang you up even longer. So, but yeah, you have to have patience and you have to have a sense of humor for sure to be a truck driver.
You definitely
be a successful truck driver.
Well, George, I have good news. The call wasn't 45 minutes long.
44?
No. An hour.
Oh, an hour. All right. Yeah. Well.
I promised George earlier that it wouldn't be 45 minutes. It was an hour. So I kept my promise.
You did keep your promise, and I appreciate that about you.
but you said you wondered what we could find to talk about for 30 minutes, let alone an hour. So.
Oh, no. I'm the kind of person I would talk to the light pole if I thought it would listen to me. So. You know, I have all these people that want me to speak.
You talk to light poles too?
Yeah, well, if they listen, you know. But
I've had people offer, nice to know I'm not alone.
I've had people that, you know, they want me to to speak at a certain event, and they're like, well, do you think you could speak to a crowd for 45 minutes? I'm like, yeah, I could speak to a crowd for hours. You're going to have to come up there and remove me from the stage. So, but yeah, I'm a talker. I know that about myself. So,
that means we are in trouble then, because you haven't discovered I'm a talker too. So, but anyway, George, it really was a pleasure. I thank you for your taking your time out today. It really was a pleasure. Take care, George.
You do the same, Tom. Take care.
Bye.